Sure, miracles are great and everybody wants one in their life. And you know, Jesus, he performed many miracles in front of many people, and they believed in the miracles, but yet they didn't believe in him.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The topic of this episode is the Book of John, Chapter 7.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
In this seventh chapter of John, we're going to see Jesus' own brothers try to coax him into making a grand entrance into the Feast of Tabernacles, even though they themselves did not believe that he was the actual Messiah described in the scriptures. Also, we're going to witness Jesus making a bold claim that his teachings came straight from God. We're also going to see Jesus offering himself as the living water to anyone who is spiritually thirsty. Chapter 7 of the book of John shows us just how greatly the people in Jesus' day were divided over his identity. The Pharisees just wanted Jesus to go away. He threatened everything that they stood for, and he threatened to take away their power. Other people believed that Jesus was the promised Messiah, yet still some other people believed that he was demon-possessed, despite the great miracles that he worked in front of them. Are you thirsty for Jesus? If you are, hold on, because we're about to take a trip into the book of John, chapter 7. Let's begin now in chapter 7, starting with verse 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Judea, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. His brothers therefore said to him, "Depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you do. For there is no man that does anything in secret, and he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." For neither did his brothers believe in him. Jesus' brothers are trying to coax him into making a public entrance into this feast. Matthew 13:55 tells us that Jesus had four brothers. They were all half-brothers. They were James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, not the Judas that betrayed him. A side note is that Jesus also had sisters, mentioned in Matthew 13:56, although the Bible doesn't mention them by name or give a number of how many there were. At this time, when his brothers were trying to coax him into coming to this feast and making a public spectacle of himself, they actually didn't believe that Jesus was the Messiah promised in the scripture. Not everybody who believes in the miracles of Jesus actually believes in Jesus being the Messiah of the world. Even to this day, there are people that believe that Jesus did great miracles, and they don't dispute the recordings in the Bible, but they don't believe the Bible's claim that Jesus was the promised Messiah. So you can believe in the miracles of Jesus and still not get who he really is. And unfortunately, I've witnessed in some churches where people put more stock in the miracles that Jesus does rather than the gift that God gave us through Jesus, which was the payment for our sins. Sure, miracles are great and everybody wants one in their life. And you know, Jesus, he performed many miracles in front of many people, and they believed in the miracles, but yet they didn't believe in him. So you know that God can work miracles in a person's life, and they still can miss the ultimate gift, the gift of Jesus Christ. And his brothers were looking at the acts that Jesus was able to commit, rather than who Jesus really was. They wanted to show Jesus off. show off his power, but they still did not believe that he came to die for the world. Verse 6, then Jesus said to them, "My time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hates, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Go you up to this feast. I go not up yet to this feast, for my time is not yet full come." When he had said these words to them, he stayed still in Galilee. Jesus was saying that, look, if I tell these people who I really am and they get it, a lot of people are going to start to hate me. Because of me, people's sins are exposed. Now understand that Jesus did not come into the world to condemn it. He came into the world to save it. Yet when a person accepts Jesus Christ, they're also accepting the fact that they're a sinner. And that exposes one's evil deeds. And so Jesus is telling them, look, if you really knew me, you'd know exactly what would happen if I showed up at this feast and I told people who I really am. Now, notice how Jesus says, I'm not going yet to this feast. That's because Jesus does show up later, but he knew that he was a wanted man by the Pharisees. And because of that, he chose to wait to go not so openly and not so publicly so that he could make a less of a grand entrance. Verse 10, but when his brothers were gone up, then went he also up to the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, "Where is he?" And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, "He is a good man." Others said, "No, but he deceives the people." However, no man spoke openly of him for fear of the Jews. Now many people at this feast were speaking about Jesus Christ, but they were afraid to do it openly because the Jews had such a tight grip on the people. They had so much power over the people that they were feared. And so people spoke among themselves, but they did so privately. Now, even though that the people were all speaking about Jesus in private, all of them were missing the point as to who he was. Some said that he was a deceiver, and some people said that he was a good man. But nobody got the point that he was who he said he was, which was the Son of God. Now, even though that the people were missing the point, the Jewish leaders still did not want the people speaking about Jesus in any context, good or bad. In their minds, they thought it to be best if Jesus' name just went away and that the people just stopped talking about him altogether. And the fact that everybody was silent openly about Jesus demonstrates just how much power the Jewish leaders had over the people. They ruled as tyrants. Verse 14, now about the middle of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, "How knows this man letters, having never learned?" Now the Jews were marveling at Jesus' teachings because he was an uneducated carpenter. He didn't go to school to be a rabbi. Yet he spoke like an educated man concerning the things of God. And they couldn't figure this out. How did this guy get so smart all by himself? When we grow close to God and his word, and we seek to find his heart, when we seek a relationship with God, and we read his word, and we're praying about knowledge and wisdom from his word, the Holy Spirit comes in, and he reveals to us the secret things of God. That's why it's so important to not just study the Bible with your mind, but open your heart when you're reading God's word and ask the Lord in prayer to reveal to you what it is that he wants to say to you. Verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaks of himself seeks his own glory, but he that seeks his glory that sent him, the same is true. And no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keeps the law? why go you about to kill me? So Jesus is saying that a person's willingness to obey the truth is the foundation to understanding his message. Also notice that Jesus mentioned out loud that they were trying to kill him. Now he asked the question why they were trying to kill him before anybody vocalized a threat towards him. And in the next verse, you're going to find out why he said that. Verse 20, the people answered and said, "You have a devil. Who goes about to kill you?" Jesus answered and said to them, "I have done one work, and you all marvel. Moses therefore gave to you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And you on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry at me because I have made a man completely whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." In Jesus' day, accusing somebody of having a demon was grounds enough to pick up stones and start throwing them at the person. And the end result of that was death. So Jesus already knew that these people were going to accuse him, yet he called them out before they had a chance to do it. Not only that, but he took their excuse for killing him, which was healing on a Sabbath, and turned it around and said, "Look, you guys are hypocrites because you're doing good works on the Sabbath as well. So if I did something good on the Sabbath and you practice good deeds on the Sabbath, how can you accuse me of any wrongdoing? How can you condemn me?" Now understand that these people who are talking to Jesus, they consider themselves godly people. But that's not the case. God is not looking for people in this world who knows all about him. God is looking for people who know him. And to know God is to love God. And out of love for God comes a natural obedience for his commandments. These people neither knew God nor loved God because God was standing right in front of them in the form of Jesus Christ. And they did not recognize him. They instead were seeking to kill him. These people found themselves face to face with God and they didn't even recognize him. In addition to that, they were arguing with him. They were trying to call him a sinner, even though they themselves were doing things that were strictly forbidden on the Sabbath, at least under their own law. And they were trying to call Jesus bad for healing a person completely, yet they themselves would do circumcision on the Sabbath. And Jesus wasn't about to let them get away with calling him a sinner. He was going to call them out. Again, Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world. He came into the world to save it. But Jesus has the authority to point out sin and to judge sin. And even though he wasn't condemning these people, he was letting them know that he could see right through their silly little rules. And he could also see through their self-righteousness. And he could also see through their false accusations. There was no way that he was going to allow them to condemn him for doing good when they themselves were just as guilty of doing good on the Sabbath as he was. Verse 25, then said some of them of Jerusalem, "Is not this he whom they seek to kill? But see, he speaks boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? However, we know this man from where he is, but when Christ comes, no man knows from where he is." So now the people are confused because they think they know where Jesus is from. They think that he's from any place other than Bethlehem. Because in the scriptures, Bethlehem is mentioned as being the birthplace of the Christ. Yet these people believed that Jesus came from somewhere else, such as Galilee. So even though they knew their scripture, they didn't know enough about Jesus to make a determination as to who he was. And because Jesus just showed the hypocrisy of the people around him as far as the Sabbath went, the rulers of his day, the Pharisees who were there to arrest him, they couldn't argue with them. Every time they tried to accuse Jesus of something, he had a comeback answer. And so to arrest him openly with people divided as to who he was going to be a very tricky thing to do, because Jesus spoke so cleverly and he spoke so truthfully. You know, when you're guilty of something and you're trying to get somebody else who's innocent, yet that person starts to expose you, well, if you're the guilty one, you're going to be more likely to leave the innocent person alone once it's known that they have something on you. And Jesus had a lot on these people. Jesus knew the sins that they were guilty of. And he was trying to say, look, if you want to compare yourselves to me, you're going to lose. So it's no surprise that there was people that were divided. Some believed he was the Christ, whereas other people believed that he was something else. In today's society, we have a lot of people who claim to be Christians, who claim to be God's messengers. Yet there are some ways to find, to spot false teachers. False teachers don't speak words that match the Bible's teachings. False teachers focus on themselves, not God. False teachers want the glory instead of giving it to God. False teachers don't point people to Jesus. False teachers don't challenge people to live out the commands and principles of Scripture. And finally, false teachers rarely talk about sin and the need for repentance. That's just a few ways that you can spot a false teacher. Of course, there's other ways too. Some of them don't have any fruits in their lives. Sometimes you can look at a person talking about God and you look at their own lives and you see some of the things that they're into, and you just have to wonder, is this person really a teacher from God? And that's what Jesus was doing with this crowd. He was saying, hey, look at my good deeds and compare them to yourselves. Are they not any different than what you do? You circumcise on a Sabbath, and I healed a man on the Sabbath. So how can you compare your deeds to my deeds, and I be guilty and you not? Verse 28, then cried Jesus in the temple as he taught, saying, you both know me, and you know from where I am, and I am not come of myself. But he that sent me is true, whom you know not, but I know him, for I am from him, and he has sent me. Now again, the crowd didn't know where Jesus was actually from. Most didn't. And the scriptures did teach that the Messiah would come from Bethlehem. Yet these people were kind of confused as to where Jesus was actually from. Now, Jesus was telling them, look, you might know me personally here in the flesh, but you're a little bit confused about God. Because if you would have known God, if you would have been seeking God, you would have recognized me. And you would have dug a little bit harder into my past and find out exactly where I did come from. Have you ever known a friend for a real long time and you thought you knew them, only to find out that there was another side of that person that you had no idea about? That's what Jesus is trying to tell these people right here. You think you know me, and you know me, but you don't know me, because the real side of Jesus is God. And if you know Jesus, you know God. Verse 30, then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. And many of the people believed on him and said, when Christ comes, will he do more miracles than these which this man has done? The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. So as Jesus spoke to the crowd, many more people believed in him. And that started to scare the Pharisees, who saw their power slipping away. They thought that Jesus was nothing more than a troublemaker. They ignored all of the miracles that Jesus was doing and focused on the fact that he was threatening their power. But if the Pharisees had been doing their job according to the teachings of God, they would never have felt threatened in the first place. Just the very presence of Jesus in someone's life can make a person look at themselves and see the wrong that they're doing. Looking at Jesus is like looking at a mirror in some cases, not in the sense that when we look at Jesus, we see ourselves, but we see ourselves as we should be. And these Pharisees walking around Jesus and listening to what Jesus had to say, they must have been convicted because they knew the scripture. They just weren't doing it. So Jesus was challenging not only the Pharisees, but all the people that were listening to him to make a choice. Either believe in me or don't believe in me, but put aside your excuses for your decision. There is no middle ground when it comes to Jesus. You're either for him or you are against him. What side are you on? Ask yourself what side you're on. Are you all for Jesus, or is there some middle of the road decision that you haven't made yet? Pray about that, if you will. Verse 33, then said Jesus to them, yet a little while am I with you, and then I go to him that sent me. You shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, there you cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, where will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go to the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, you shall seek me and shall not find me? And where am I? There you cannot come. The Pharisees believed that Jesus was planning a trip to the Gentile territory because they didn't understand his real relationship with God. They didn't understand that Jesus was saying that he was going home to God. That's the beautiful thing about the Gospels, that Jesus has gone home to God. You know, Jesus says repeatedly in the Gospels, follow me. He not only says it in the Gospels, but he is saying it to each and every living person right now, today. Follow me. If you follow Jesus, do you know where you're going to end up at? With God. Because that's where Jesus is. He's leading the way. Verse 37, in the last day, that great day of feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scriptures has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke, he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now remember, Jesus is still at the feast. It's the last day. But on the first day of the Feast of Tabernacles, a priest would read Zechariah 14:8. That scripture reads, and it shall be in that day that living water shall go out from Jerusalem. So Jesus was actually referring to himself as being that water referenced in Zechariah. Now for 7 days, the priest would lead a procession from the Pool of Siloam through the water gate all the way to the temple. A priest would carry the water from the pool in a golden pitcher. Now once there, the priest would circle the altar, and the priest with the golden pitcher would pour out the water into a basin at the side of the altar. This water offering was a remembrance as to how God provided water to the Israelites' ancestors during their desert wanderings. And Jesus was letting them know that he is the spiritual water that God is now providing to anyone who thirsts for it. But remember, the key is thirst. You have to be looking for God. Jesus didn't waste his time on people who did not want to hear his message. Why should he? If there is a closed heart, why should anybody be browbeaten into listening to what God has to say? If you don't have the ears, you will not hear. And if you don't have the eyes, you will not see. We have to come to God in faith and ask him to come into our lives. Verse 40, many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that Christ comes of the seed of David and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. So the people were divided, and the main reason why they were divided is because a lot of people were convinced that Jesus was born in Galilee. But Jesus was actually born in Bethlehem. He grew up in Galilee. Verse 45, Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said to them, Why have you not brought him? The officers answered, Never man spoke like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, Are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knows not the law are cursed. Nicodemus said to them, He that came to Jesus by night being one of them, Does our law judge any man before it hear him and know what he does? They answered and said to him, Are you also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee rises no prophet. And every man went to his own house. So Nicodemus makes a bold move, and citing the law, he says, Look, we got to hear this guy out. We have to investigate more before we decide to arrest this guy. We have to hear him out. We haven't heard everything this guy obviously has to say. Yet they, instead of agreeing with their own laws, insult him. See, the Pharisees believed that anybody that came out of Galilee was basically stupid and uneducated. And that's what they were basically saying to Nicodemus. Also notice that because they didn't believe in Jesus, nobody else should either. And they were saying that the only people that were believing in Jesus were the people that were uneducated and those who had no scriptural knowledge. So we can see how the Pharisees had no insight as to who Jesus was, even though they knew the scriptures backwards and forwards. Many people today do the same thing. They take science or some other belief that they have, and they use it to discredit the identity of Jesus Christ.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. Again, that address is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. For any donation amount that you send, we will send you a free copy of the DVD, Praise and Promises. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley. And it is our prayer that God will bless you immensely from this message.